satisfying Christmas you've ever had. And if it's not spiritually satisfying, believe me, it's not going to be like the Hallmark Channel conveys it. Amen. Even the turkeys on the advertisements are not turkeys baked to perfection in ovens. They are. They use all kinds of stuff that the advertisers, you couldn't eat the thing after they got done with it for the picture. Can you say amen? Because they use stuff. You know what they use for the cereal? They use stuff like paste, like Elmer's paste, to look like the milk in the cereal. I mean, I watched this whole program on this. It's really disappointing to know that the turkey can't turn out that perfect and be done and not be overcooked or undercooked and look that brown and glazed. It just don't, real life turkeys don't look that way. Amen. They look pretty good, but they don't look like they do in the pictures. All the family getting together at Christmas can be a wonderful experience and should be, but it isn't always that way. There are party poopers in families. You know what I'm going to do next. The Venable family. Amen. It's not exclusive to the Adams, praise God. It's in families get together, and there's a potential that somebody's going to do something, say something. So it's not always going to be Hallmark. On top of everything else at Christmas, there are people going to look at an empty chair, and they're going to have a memory of someone who is not there this Christmas season. And it's going to be different. My wife and I are already got a bittersweet thing going on because this is the first Christmas she's here without her mother. Kim is mother. I think this will be the second Christmas without her mom for Christmas. And it's going to bring back the reality that we do live in a fallen world, and we have to face that. A lot of people are going to go into depression because they're going to see a portrayed picture of how it should be, and it's not going to be that way. There are people out of work. There are people in financial crisis this Christmas season that can't do what they would love to do because of the restrictions and restraints that brings. And if it's all going to be a commercial thing, then that can drive people into a state of depression over Christmas. But if we discover as Christians the true meaning of Christmas, there's nothing circumstantially that can take away the joy and peace of this season. Can you say, man, there's absolutely nothing that can take away if we get a hold of the true meaning of what it means to be saved and the length that God went to save us. And we begin to discover the unspeakable gift. Can you say, Matt? I'm a proponent of a revival by rediscovering what we've had all along, not trying to find something new and different. There's certainly nothing new and better than what God has done for us in Christ. Can you say amen? And there's nothing new and better than what Christ has done for us at Calvary. And I think we just need to examine what we have instead of looking for more or something else. Amen? Because none of the new has brought revival to the Church of Jesus Christ. None of it has. Amen? It's always been the old path that leads to salvation, that leads to fulfillment and satisfaction. The words of Jesus are no less credible and important in the postmodern world in the 21st century than they were in the first century church. Amen. And there are people right in this room that get distracted and don't know a whole lot about the joy of His presence anymore. Amen. And we need that to change radically. Amen. If you're going to tell the world about Jesus, you really need to do it with a smile. Can you say amen? It really helps if you believe it. Can you say amen? And if you believe the joy of the Lord is your strength, you need to do it with joy. Amen. I had a reputation. I'm not just bragging on me. I'm bragging on Him because I wasn't trying to do that. But I did praise Him on the way to work. I just did. That was part of my routine, is to praise Him on my way to work, to pray and praise Him. It's part of my daily, that was just my routine. You get in the car, you've got two choices. You can say, I owe, it's off to work I go, or thank you, Jesus, for a job. Amen? So it's a matter of attitude. And I've told you this story a lot of times, but part of the credibility of my witness to people where I worked was the simple fact that I had joy in my service to the Lord. Amen. I used to do things other people didn't want to do because it just needed to be done. And I'm a Christian, and the Bible tells me that what your hand finds to do it with your might. Amen. And the Bible said, whatever you do in your whole life, do it heartily. Not unto men, but unto God, because God will reward you for it. Men will just pile more work on you. But God will actually reward you for it. And the joy of the Lord, if it wasn't for that, I couldn't have got through those years, literally. I mean, that's the only thing that took me through it. And when the grace to continue to do what I was doing, because it was time to stop doing it, when God lifted that, oh, it got bad and it got sad in a hurry. But for 12 years, God gave me joy and let me minister to so many people. I met a young man in a department store the other day about 2 months ago, and I came home and told Pamela about it. And he left that job. He went to work for Publix, and he's been working for Publix for several years. I haven't seen him in about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, about 4 years since I've seen him. And he run over and he grabbed my hand. He's he's relative to me. He's a young black man. And he came over and grabbed my hand and shook it. I remembered him. What was so distinctive about him, he always had these biblical questions. And then he'd come back with two or three guys. I said, what time are you going to lunch? He worked in another department. I said, well, I think I'm going to get to go to lunch about this time. And he'd get two or three guys with all these biblical questions, and he'd bring them. And they all schedule their lunch around my lunch. So I would sit there. I have actually taken a peanut butter sandwich, stuck in my pocket. You're not supposed to take it back in there where you work. But I didn't get to eat lunch because they'd ask a biblical question. I'd sit there for 30 minutes expounding the word. Honey, if you ask a preacher a question, amen, and he's a God-called preacher, you're going to get the word of God. I didn't mind a bit. And I'd sneak my bite of, I know it was wrong, but I knew the Lord would forgive me because I was preaching His word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But I'd sneak out my plug of peanut butter sandwich and I'd stick it in my mouth, you know, and I'd look around and then I'd chew a little bit and look around and chew and make sure nobody was looking in to see me, you know, chewing that because it wasn't going to contaminate. This is where they make the bottles for the milk, and none of those crumbs would get in the bottles. They're up on a conveyor belt way away from me. But, you know, you just didn't do that. But I did it because I spent my time. And he would have two or three more guys with him, and they would come in, and he says, Rev, there's a scripture we've been discussing. And I told them that you could break it down for us. So he was depending on me breaking it down. And then they'd give me the scripture and we'd go sit down and they're sitting on either side. And you can't eat in a 30-minute context and break down the scripture to somebody over some real, you know, can of worms subject. And we would get down in the Word of God and I'd feel so good and energized going back to work because I said, Lord, you know, you try to get people, you try to get Christians in church and it's hard to pry them loose from all of their goings on, can you say amen? And here's people hungry. I'm going to tell you something about spiritual hunger, or hungry for the Word of God. Amen. I didn't have to try to, you know, when somebody's hungry, the Holy Spirit in you, He just rises, He gets all excited. Praise God. It's not just your excitement. God gets excited about people hungry for the Word of God. Amen. And it just starts pouring out. And it doesn't just pour out of you, but while it's pouring out, you can't help but get some water on you. When living water's pouring out of you, amen, living water splashes all over you. I have never had God flow through me that He didn't flow to me in the process. Praise God. Amen. I'd go back after lunch energized and thank you, Jesus, for young people today, young men in their 20s that want to know your word and how to apply it to their life. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I would get excited about that. One of the things, so anyway, he came over to me and he grabbed my hand. He said, I work at Publix. I've been working for them for about 4 years now. And he said, Rev, he said, there's not a day goes by that I don't tell somebody about how we sat down at lunch and discussed the Word of God. He said, it has meant so much to me. And I thought, that is the mark that we as Christians want to make on people around us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's the mark that we want to leave. We want to leave an indelible mark for God. In fact, we want to leave the fragrance of Him. where we have been. Praise God. Hallelujah. And did you know they, and I, please don't take this as bragging on me. I wasn't trying. Do you understand when people come up and ask you a question and the Holy Ghost just pours through you? It's not you doing something. It's people's hunger allowing God to do something through you. Can you say amen? But the Bible did say you need to be instant in season, out of season. See, this ministry thing is not something that I flip on like a switch. Pamela will tell you that. She will let you know that there are times she has to kind of ignore me to get me to stop. Because don't think I'm done when I let you all go home. Amen. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. And if she would let me, I would preach right on all the way home, in the door, amen, in the house, praise God. But she don't let me, and it's a good thing she don't, because I need this voice for Radio Tuesday, amen. And she's getting plenty of gospel, believe it or not, living with me. Amen, amen, she really does. But she can tell you something. This is not something I flip on and then go and flip off. This is something that is integrated within my life, praise God. I'd go in at whistling on Monday, amen, not even necessarily a praise song, just a happy song. Everybody say a happy song. I couldn't put lyrics to it. I had the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is not just expressed in particular lyrics and music, but just in joy. Everybody say joy. So the Bible said to serve Him with that attitude. Serve the Lord with what? With gladness. And the reason for lost blessings was because, according to Deuteronomy 28, because they did not serve the Lord with gladness for the abundance of all things that He had done for them. And because they lost their gratitude and their glad service of the Lord, amen, they became disobedient. And when they became disobedient, the curse came upon them instead of the blessing. So the Bible said to enter His gates, first thing that sets up all worship and praise, with thanksgiving in your heart. Everybody say, with an attitude of gratitude. Say it with me, with an attitude of gratitude. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And it's progressive, isn't it? With the attitude of gratitude leads you to enter into His courts. With what? With praise. Amen. And then it goes on and it continues to progress. And it says, then begin to express that praise. Come, because now you're in His gates. Now you're in His courts. There's only one more level to go to. And that's His presence. Can you say amen? And the Scripture said, and come before His presence with singing. Amen? With singing. We would hear a song of thee. They said of the captive Jews taken down into Babylon. First thing they wanted was to hear a song of them. Why? Because they were renowned for the way they praised God in song. They really rocked the rafters when they praised God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I just hate to see choirs that can sing so well stand so rigid. Never lift a hand, never shed a tear, never break a smile. Amen. Looked like some people's face would crack if they smiled while singing some song that is supposed to be representative of the joy of Jesus. But they hit the high C just right. And the music director is so proud when the people give their applause. Amen. That's not praise. That's not worship. Can you say amen? You're not playing to the people. This is for the Lord. And when it's for the Lord, you have to get beside yourself. Amen. And forget about everybody else around you and do something for God. Well, I'd forget all that circumstance. Praise Him on the way to work. Get in the locker room and start whistling some just tune, just this happy tune. This heart song of happiness. Yes, it's all before the Lord. Joy is for the Lord. But I served Him with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things that He's given me. I know people tonight that have had miracles of deliverance, and they're dwelling on their immediate problem instead of all that God has done for them. And it's going to rob them of what they need to get delivered from what they're in. Ancient Israel had the same problem. They come up against all of the barriers to the blessings God had promised them. They saw the fierce armies and the giants, and they were discouraged and disheartened. And the Bible said, yea, they tempted the Lord God. They turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel because they forgot the hand of the Lord that brought them up out of the land of Egypt. They lost their gratitude. They lost their focus on His goodness. All they saw was the problems, can you say, man? And a whole generation wandered, died in the wilderness that could have enjoyed the blessings of the promised land. Amen? Sour-faced Christians can't impress this world. You've got to be able to show them that this really works in your daily life. Can you say, man? They can't see your faith. They can't see your God. They can only see you. Sorry about that, chief. They can only see you. And the Bible said you're living epistles. You yourself convey and communicate a message. And the eyes of him who are joyful rejoices the hearts of others. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they had a full expectation that that man right there is going to come in and have a gladness of heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I believe that's why they talked to me. Because there were other people with ministerial credentials, but they didn't come in that way. Amen? Serving God to them looked like more of a job than a joy. More of a chore than a challenge that is to be met with joy in your heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God don't want you to lose it in this season of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Say great joy. Amen. He said, when you hear this message, you should get excited on top of excitement. Because unto you, you and me, this hasn't changed because we're in a whole different time frame. Amen. The message and the joy of Jesus and sins forgiven should be something that is reclaimed by every Christian tonight. How did David pray in Psalm 51? One of the parts of his prayer was, Lord, restore unto me, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy. Say it with me, the joy of your salvation, or the joy of your religion, of your the joy of your deliverance, praise God. If you don't get your joy back, the devil is going to keep. Sometimes I will be talking about something very serious and say something very funny. And there will be critics of that. They're going to say, well, yeah, he ought not do that. He ought to be like me. Well, if I'm like you, nobody's going to listen to me very long. Talk serious. Can you say amen? Amen? I mean, the long face won't cut it because you know what it's saying? It's saying, Jesus really can't take you through trials. Not if they're heavy as you got. He really can't be to you what you tell him he's supposed to be to others. Amen? He really isn't the answer. He really can't give you a song in the night. David said, oh, yes, he can. In the deepest, darkest night, weep it. Does it mean we will be tearless? No. Amen. But it does mean that we know that this is not going to last. Praise God. Weeping lasts but for a night. It's not something you live with as a way of life. Amen. For joy comes when? In the morning. Well, when does morning come? That's the question. Morning doesn't come when the darkness gives way to day. Morning comes when something else happens. Amen. When the Son of Righteousness arises in your heart with what in his wings? That means when God manifests himself to you. Wherever you are, in whatever circumstance you're in. That's why Paul could sing praises. That's why Paul and Silas. What is it the song says? We're in the Roman jail. And they didn't worry who would go their veil. Amen. Does anybody know the lyrics to the rest of the lyrics of that song? But on the prayer bells they began to ring. Off fell the stocks and they began to sing. Well, I'm gonna be a little bit of theological critical of that verse. I believe you're supposed to sing before the stocks fall off. I don't believe Jericho's walls fell before they shouted. But I believe they fell after they shouted. Anybody can shout after your walls fall down. It takes a real Christian to shout with the walls standing there defying you. But it's that very shout of faith and by faith that brings those walls down. It's a contemporary song, a little too rocky for you guys, so I don't play it for you. Amen. It's pretty upbeat. I don't mean that you're not upbeat, but you know what I've said. Some things are a little too rocky for holy worship services. But I'm going to praise Him. The name of it by Matthew Ward, I'm going to praise Him till the walls come down. And there's a real guitar riff on there that sounds a whole lot like Rocky Roll. The old, you know. But it's a good theological truth. People really don't praise Him like He said to praise Him. Because of what? A lack of gratitude. We tend to focus on our immediate problem instead of rehearsing all of the good things that God has done. And the immediate problem becomes that weight that presses us down. Rehearsing all the good things that God has done becomes something that makes us buoyant, that lifts us up, and gives us the strength and courage we need to face the immediate problem. That's why the Bible said, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. I want to break that down for you tonight, just like I would those young men that came hungry for the Word of God. It doesn't just mean to glance at Jesus when you're in trouble. Amen. It means to fix. Can I do it in the full strength of the Greek that it was written? Looking away from all that will distract. To look to Jesus, you've got to first quit looking at what your problem is. Including yourself. You want to crucify the flesh? Bless the Lord at all times. You'll have to put the flesh on the cross and keep it nailed there. Because the tendency of your flesh and mine is to complain and whine. Amen? And get down and get depressed. And if we represent a God, amen, who said, I'll take you through everything if you'll trust me. And we're telling that world out there, you don't need drugs. Listen, if we can't achieve it, don't tell them they don't need their alcohol. Don't tell them they don't need their drugs. Amen? We got to show them, not just tell them, that Jesus can keep His promise. That the addict doesn't have to shoot up. That Jesus can give that living water. In a fallen world, can you say amen? Come on, the church just can't lay tracks around. We have to become what God has called us to be, living epistles. And that's why the enemy works hard at keeping us distracted and discouraged and depressed if he can. Because most people put on their Jesus face for Sunday. But the crucial thing is not how we look to one another in here, but how we look out there to the gainsaying world. Can you say, man, we need to convince them. We need to be convincing that our God is big enough, that His grace is sufficient, that His joy can counteract all of the heartache and heartbreak of a fallen world. I love the great promise in the book of Isaiah. I'll give you beauty for ashes. I'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. And I'll give you the garment of praise for what? Depression, the spirit of heaviness. That you might be called the tree, praise God. What a testimony you have when that happens. That you may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe somebody needs an oil change tonight. How many would agree from time to time we need an oil change? You know why cars need oil changes? You know why they need oil changes and filter changes? Because all that sludge, all that crud, can I say crud in church? Amen. Just said it. It builds up, doesn't it? Did you know if you keep dwelling on your issues and I dwell on... Did you know I wouldn't be a pastor? I've had 37 years of issues. If I don't have my own, I've got somebody else's shoved in my face. I can't go home and forget it all. The phone rings and somebody else's troubles are placed on me. And the majority of people want me to fix it. I sat with three pastors Tuesday and in our Tuesday breakfast, and I said because one guy was really letting it roll out and venting, and I said, you know, one of the hardest things about being a pastor is this, because it's so frustrating. The man of God must not strive, but be patient instructing those that oppose themselves. See, most people's problems as a Christian is not the devil. Thank you for the hearty amens tonight. Amen. It's not the devil. Come on, we can't have pop psychology in here. Amen. The devil is not your big problem. Thank you for the hearty amens. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will badger you, beleaguer you, battle you, and batter you. No, he won't. Not if you're fully submitted to God. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil from that posture of full submission. You know what that means? That means applying the Word of God for the purpose of obedience. Everybody say, applying the Word of God for the purpose of obedience. Are you going to do it perfectly? No, you're not. Nobody can do that. Do you give up and throw in the towel and let the devil ride roughshod over you? No, you do not. Because the strength you need comes from the joy of the Lord. Can you say, man, it comes from the joy of the Lord. And without that joy, where are you going to get what you need to face what you're facing? Amen. At midnight, Paul and Silas, it looked like they were God-forsaken. Their health, they would have done killed those guys. Amen. But because of the holiday it was, they were waiting till the next day. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They prayed. And I've heard these faithless prayers. Amen. As if heaven's out of business and God don't know or care about what's going on. Listen, don't pray. Listen, after they prayed, they sealed their prayer with their faith. How many believe that whatever you ask in prayer, believing? We know His will is involved here, but if it's in His will and you have faith that God is still on the throne, that heaven isn't bankrupt, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, what's going to happen? Nothing. No, something's going to happen if you seal your prayer with faith. Something's going to happen. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. How did they express their faith after praying? What did they do next? What? They sang praises? Nothing's changed yet, and they're singing praises? The circumstances defying them, and they're singing praises? No angel has shown up, and they're singing praises? The jail hasn't opened, and they're singing praises? Everybody say, faith sees the invisible. Believes the incredible. And receives the impossible. Glory to God. Sometimes you got to see the invisible. Can you say amen? Because if you keep looking at what the devil wants to show you, it's going to keep bringing you down. There are times I come in and there's... I remember coming in here and everyone was up here. Talk about preaching to the choir. I literally preached to the choir because the choir is all that was here. I have to see the invisible. I have to believe. Listen, this is I know we're on radio and a website now, and I know this is like a studio a lot of times. But before it became that, before we went on radio, there are years right here with those circumstances that I didn't know what God was up to. I didn't know that the Word was going any further than these walls right here. And if it wasn't, it wasn't going very far. Can you say amen? But I was faithful. We never had a little service because of a little crowd. Oh, give me a better amen. Don't make me prove it to you tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We never, come on, can you say amen? We don't have a mini service for a mini crowd. I want to be faithful. I had to see the invisible. And believe that God had a plan that even when I couldn't see it. And it was tough to do that, but it was well worth it, hallelujah, to have the gospel going where it's going tonight, right out of here. And the devil tried to put me out of business many times. It wasn't being able to smile, being able to laugh, being able to love, praise God, not becoming bitter, but becoming better because of the trials. Praise God. I feel seasoned tonight, and I know it's not over, and I make no claim to being there. I believe more trials are coming, more perfection. I don't believe God's done with me. How about you? Amen. Amen. But I've learned something in the midst of my trials. If I didn't learn this lesson, I wouldn't be here preaching to you tonight. I'd give up ministry. Because I can go to heaven without preaching, believe it or not. I'm saved by grace. I'm not working my way to heaven by preaching the gospel. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amens. I want to make that clear tonight. Amen. I'm not going to get into heaven because I was faithful to my calling. I'm going to get into heaven because he called me to salvation. The blood of Jesus is going to grant me entrance there. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Brother Ben, do you believe you can go to heaven if you quit preaching? Oh, yes, I do believe I can go because I ain't quitting God and I'm not quitting Jesus. Amen. 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 It's either grace or it isn't. This is one of those tis or taint scriptures. If I got to preach my way to heaven, how are you going to earn your entrance? What are you going to do to get there? Can you say amen? Well, I don't have to do nothing because I ain't called. Everybody say baloney. Baloney, baloney, baloney. You are called too. Praise God. You don't have to be a pulpit to be called. You are called. Praise God. Amen. You're called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Everybody in this room has that calling. Praise God. Amen. You're called to be a living epistle. And the devil is going to work overtime on you because somebody is looking at you. Amen. To figure out what God is all about. Now, that's an incredible responsibility, but it should be taken with joy. The more joy and peace you manifest, amen, the more of a witness you become without trying. The Bible said you literally become without even trying. You got to be ready when you're not expecting it for someone to say, break this down to me. One night I was at work, and there was problems at home. There's problems in the church, and I have to give them to Jesus. I just can't afford to burn out. I can't afford nervous exhaustion anymore. I'm too tired for nervous exhaustion. Thank you for the heart. I'm just too tired. I'm too tired to argue with people. Amen. Amen. I'm too tired to wonder about everybody else's life except for intercessory reasons. I mean, after I pray for you, I really don't think about you much anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to go home and say, oh, dear Lord, what is Alice going to do? I don't know what we're going to do about Alice. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to Alice. I can't get her off my mind. Sure, I can get Alice off my mind. I brought her before the Lord, God Almighty, who loves her enough to give his son for her. Praise God. And I believe he's going to take good care of his daughter. Even if he wasn't going to take good care of her, my worrying wouldn't take care of anything or change anything. So after I pray for Alice, I don't worry about Alice. Be anxious for nothing. You're going to have to put that old man on the cross sometime. You thinking of doing it by not smoking or drinking or cursing. Honey, quit worrying. It'll take more of God and more crucifixion of the flesh to quit worrying than it does to quit smoking. I know, because I used to smoke. When God delivered me from nicotine, it was like that. I've been fighting worry my whole life. Oh, thank you. I'm sure there's people in here that it never occurs to them to have a worried thought. Honey, that really worries me. Can you say amen when I hear something like that? I fight it all the time. You say, Brother Rimble, you must be able to just know. No, you're wrong about that. Amen. In prayer and supplication with. You got to blend something in here to help God help you. Amen. In all things, be anxious for nothing. Remember Mad Magazine? I got to hurry and quit. I can't beat Brother Taylor. I've given up. You win. Can you say amen? Praise. Listen to this. Amen. But if we get out if I keep trying to beat him, we're still going to get out earlier than we would have. Amen. So let me keep competing with him. Listen. Remember Mad Magazine? Alfred who? Oh, yeah. Praise God. We don't know the apostles, but we know Alfred E. Newman. Can you say amen? Who is Bartholomew? I don't know. Who is Alfred E. Newman? Mad Magazine. He has these ears that look like a taxi with both doors open. Amen. And he has a slogan because he's crazy. Because anybody that has this slogan has got to be crazy. What? Me worry? That was his slogan. What? Me worry? And it sounds like you have to be crazy. Someone said, when in fear, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. That's not how we handle it. That's not how God wants us to handle it. Amen. Someone said, if you can keep your head in dire circumstances when everyone is in a blind panic, you probably don't understand the situation. Amen. You say, Brother Bumber, you don't know my situation. No, but I know your God. I know your God. I know your God. And He's Lord over those circumstances. And if you'll let Him by trusting Him and praising Him anyhow with gratitude, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Satan wants to cancel your Christmas. He wants to X Christ out of it. Not just because you don't know the reason for the season, but because you don't trust Him through the season. We got to where we dreaded Christmas. My wife and I dreaded Christmas for this reason, because we love Jesus and we love to celebrate. We want to out-celebrate the world. But we dreaded Christmas because the devil, through people, would do something to kill our Christmas. And we'd get up, I remember getting up on Christmas morning, one Christmas morning we got up and we were just disheveled and weepy and we were crying and we looked at each other and we both just started crying and we had to fight. See, this is a fight. It's a battlefield. They used to sing in my church when I got saved. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to and run if you will, but I came here to stay. I don't know about you, but I came here to stay. And everything I proclaim about Jesus, Satan defiantly, amen, comes against me. If I preach healing, I end up getting sick. Last Saturday, I had it on my heart that someone is going to need healing in this congregation, that is in great need to have hands laid on them. And what happened last Saturday night? I got real sick. And I was real sick until 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, I said, Lord, I have just stated that in 37 years of pastoring, I've never called in sick. And what happens? I'm sick. And it's not just nausea. And I'm not just afraid I'm going to throw up on this man. It's bad enough to spit on him while I preach. I don't want to barf on him too. I love him. Do you appreciate him? Want him to keep doing what he's doing? What a blessing he is. You can only take so much. It's not just the nausea. I'm seeing double. It's been that way for hours. I'm okay laying down in the fetal position. But when I get up, the room spins and I get nauseated and I have to hold on to something. And you can just see me without God coming through, coming in here like that. Can you see me coming in? And they say, oh Lord, have mercy. The man done hit the bottle. He's a drunken man. He's trying to make it to the pulpit without breaking this shade, and if I do, Pamela will kill me. She got that on sale and is so proud of it. Can you see that? That's not the way I'm supposed to come in here. Can you say amen? And of course, that's going to be really great when someone needs healing and here I am all messed up. Amen. I said, Lord, I am not asking you. I had to make sure of my motive. I said, Lord, I'm not asking you to heal me tonight so I can keep an unbroken record. It's okay if I call in. How many know God can still be with me if I call in once out of 37 years? I don't know if I'm going to let Him pray for me. He's only been preaching for 37 years without ever calling in. Can you say amen? Oh, dear Lord, give me a break. Amen. No, get the pride out. Get the flesh out. I said, Lord, I believe somebody needs healing from You. And if You would let Your healing flow to me tonight, I'd open my eyes and look around, I'd see double and get sick again. Amen. I'd close them, I'd pray and open my eyes because I'm expecting the prayer to be answered. But every time I open my eyes, I see what I see. Double. I'm doing that till 4 o'clock in the morning. At 4 o'clock in the morning last Saturday night, I opened my eyes and I still saw double. And I said, Lord, if You want healing to flow through me, You got to let healing flow to me tonight. And the only reason I'm asking You, because I could lay here. I sat too long in front of that computer. My eyes ain't what they used to be. You know, Moses was 120. His eyes were not dim, but he didn't have a computer. How many know Moses did not have a computer? Amen. He didn't even have a television. My eyes just went nuts, and it made me sick. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I said, Lord, I thank you. If I have to call in, I call in, but it's okay. It's okay. I started thinking, Lord, you've been so good to me. Whether you answer this prayer tonight or I have to weather this storm, Lord, you've been so good to me. You brought me so through so many. See, that gratitude begin to come. Instead of the anxiety or the questioning, the gratitude begin to rise up. As I rehearsed all the victories that God has given. But there's a stone out front. It's got a plaque on it. And it says Ebenezer and gives the scripture. After a great victory, God's people said, we got to mark this victory. Amen. With a memorial to this victory. You ought to mark every victory in your life with an Ebenezer stone. Can you say amen? So when you can't see your way out and you can't see what God is doing, you can rehearse what He's done. Praise God. Hallelujah. That Ebenezer, you know what it means? You see it sometimes. Ebenezer Baptist Church, usually on a Baptist church. Well, what in the world does Ebenezer mean? It means until this time, up until now, in the history of the nation of Israel, God has been our help. Can you say amen? The courage we need to face the future with all the enemies and obstacles is looking back to our legacy. A victory. Up until this time, God has always come through. We have no reason to doubt that He's going to continue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say Ebenezer. Scrooge had the right name, but the wrong attitude. His mama named him Ebenezer. Amen? Everybody say the right name but the wrong attitude. Christian is the right title. We need an attitude to match. That followers of Jesus are not these empty shells of people without God and without hope in this world. Hallelujah. We have a God. He listens, but He answers in His good timing. And the Bible said you have need of patience. That means persevering faith. That doesn't mean just to sit complacently. It means to persevere in faith. You have need of patience. It's rendered perseverance in many, many places. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Knock. Keep on knocking. And I'm so proud of some of you because I know things are happening in your life enough to depress and break anybody. But you still keep proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, that God is in ultimate control. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Someday it's got to match. It can't be just right words that are mouthed. Something has to match up with those words. Can you say amen? If the words don't match, people won't pay any attention to us because they'll say, there goes a Christian. They got problems, and having a God makes no more difference in their life than me out here. They got their religion as a crutch, and I've got my drugs as a crutch, or I've got my alcohol as my crutch. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Listen to me. There's something wrong when even the hungover world comes in with more joy than the Christian who doesn't know how to enter into the presence of God or allow His presence into them. I laid on that bed, and I said, Lord, touch me. Let it flow to me that it might flow to others, Father. I don't care about a record of never calling in. I do care about a defeat from the enemy. If you will me to be there, then you're going to have to heal me to get me there. And I'm laying in the fetal position. I'm not up flexing my spiritual faith muscles. I'm pleading for the mercy of a God who loves me. And I'm laying, literally laying, like this, praying that prayer. Afraid to move my head, trying to keep the nausea down. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I hadn't had a chance to study, the Lord said, of all things, go turn on your computer and study. And I got up, almost, because the dog sleeps right in there. Sophie.
I got up.
Almost tripped over the dog. Held on to the back of the chair. Computer chair. Everything's double, and now it's starting to go like this. I feel like I'm singing Popeye. You know, Popeye the Sailor Man. Amen. But he was used to the sea, and I wasn't. And I sat down in that chair. Computer's warming up, loading up. I put on my computer glasses, and everything became perfect. And the thing is, if you're sitting at the computer too long, the last thing you want to do if you want to get better is go back to the computer. But God stepped in. And I told Pamela on the way to church, I said, Pamela, somebody needs healing. God spoke to me about that. And I said, the only reason that I want to be here, that I wanted this victory so bad is, Lord, flow to me that you might flow through me. And I rehearsed the victories. How many times have I been beaten, broken, beleaguered, embattled, and wondering where God is, and yet knowing in my spirit that he's where he said he would be. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Can you say amen? And God just, listen, if God didn't heal me, it wouldn't change anything. He's still on the throne. Amen. If he let me miss that Sunday to make sure there's no pride in me of not wanting to, you know, get up and crow. Look what I done. No, I didn't do nothing. It's the grace. It's the mercy of God. Can you say amen? But grace and mercy is enough to sustain you through your trials. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I got here, someone met me before I could get into church. And said, I'm in desperate need of prayer for healing. There it is. Oh, by the way, while I was studying, I wanted to print out something. My printer talked to me. Don't you just hate it at crucial times when your printer talks back to you? And the printer literally told me in those computer terms. There was one ink cartridge it was warning me about. Now it said there's two ink cartridges. And it doesn't say they're out. It just says, I ain't going to print. Till you get them in me. It got real. I mean, you can put it in. That's what it basically said. You replace these two colors or I'm not printing anything. And I thought, you idiot. I don't want a portrait here. I don't want blue and magenta and yellow and green. I want black ink. So I don't have to sit here and write all of this out. I can hit a button. I'm spoiled. And I don't have time. Now it's 5 in the morning. I need this to print. And you got to understand, we just don't keep those things laying around. They're expensive. And I went to a bottom drawer that Pamela stored stuff in, so it's really full of stuff. And I start moving the stuff. Oh, you should see my stuff. That makes her stuff look highly organized. And I started moving it around. And I guess what two colors? The two colors, black and magenta, is that what they call it? Amen. I don't know where they come up with these names. Amen. Beiges, all kinds. Anyway, I had to find those two. And what a coinkadink, huh? What a coinkadink. You go to the drawer, you pull it out, and there's only two cartridges buried underneath all that stuff. Those two colors. Out of all the colors needed for this sophisticated printer, the two that we were out of was in that bottom drawer that hadn't been opened in a year. Obviously, God wants me to come to church and pray for somebody. He wants me to study before I get here. Of course, he doesn't want me to sleep. Can you say? Because there ain't no way. I mean, he would have to, you know, put me to sleep and stop time. Hallelujah, and give me 8 hours sleep without the clock moving. He didn't do that for me. I came in like Terry. Amen. I drank my coffee, said my prayers, and come to church. Hallelujah. Take his coffee, we'd see the night of the living dead. Hallelujah. Amen. And God let me come. And God, I can rest at another time. But God let me come and pray. And God let me come and preach. But we need to not question the immediate, but to rehearse the past. Can you say amen to give us courage for what we're facing? And we need to be thankful. Listen to this. The Bible said don't worry about anything. I've been fighting this battle with that issue my whole Christian experience, I expect to fight it till I go home, because I do not expect to come to some inhuman or superhuman state. If that child is sick, that woman is going to worry. And here's something we need to distinguish. Don't miss it. Running to God is not running from the devil. Running to God is an act of faith that God honors. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What do people do? We just tough it out with our force within us. No. When my heart is overwhelmed, not if, but when it happens, and it can happen more than once, and it did in David's life. When it happens, lead me. And I thought he was talking about somebody coming along, but listen, there are times when there's nobody to come along. Amen. And David was directing that to the Lord in that psalm. Amen. If you research it, he's talking to God. He said, Lord, I want you to remind me that you are my refuge. Can you say, man, when I am so troubled and worried, I need you to help me to focus on you. So when my heart, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me, Lord, to that rock that is higher than I. In other words, remind me that it is not my strength. It is your power that's going to bring me through. I don't have to be strong to win this in myself. My strength is in the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For you, Lord, here's the rehearsing. Do you see it coming? For you, Lord, have been the past, drawing from that. You have been a shelter for me and a refuge from mine enemies. Praise God. You brought me through this. You brought me through that. You brought me through this. Praise God. Hallelujah. David said, I've slain the lion and the bear. I'm rehearsing that victory. Now, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? You got nutty, crazy, flaky kids. Give them to God. If I didn't give my son to God, he would have driven me crazy. I would have worried myself sick. And how can you intercede when you're just worried to the point that you can't hardly pray? I had to give him to God. And I have to keep giving him to God. I was concerned he didn't immediately attach to a church, because I need the body of Christ. I need the fellowship. And I'm concerned about it. So God got the word to him in the bathroom. In his busyness. And that don't mean he's okay. It just means that God hasn't given up. He's got more to do in his life. Praise God. But look where he's brought him from. Hallelujah. Look where he's brought him from. Hallelujah. The brink, firebrand, snatched out of the flames. Praise God. I'd be foolish to distrust God now with him and take him back on me. I want to keep him where he was that brought him where he is, and that is in the hands of a mighty God. Give your circumstance to the Lord. Can you say amen? But listen to this. Here's the attitude adjustment we all need tonight. In all things, with prayer and supplication, that means direct request. Let your request be made known. No, it does not say that. This is crucial. Don't miss it. In all things, with prayer and supplication, before anything, with thanksgiving. Say it with me again, with thanksgiving. You can miss that in your rush to the throne room, in your desperation for an answer. You can miss gratitude and rush in there with ingratitude. Enter his gates, that approach to God. What happens? First thing he's looking for when you approach him, it begins with his gates. The gates of his palatial throne. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. What does that lead you to? It leads you to another step toward his presence, where there's fullness of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Enter his courts. You're past the gates because of gratitude. Amen. Now you're into his courts. What's appropriate in the courts of God and that approach to God? Enter his courts with praise. At midnight they prayed, and what did they do? They did what? They sang the blues because they were in deep trouble. Can you say amen? I start to say doo-doo, but we don't say that in church either. Can you say amen? They were in deep trouble. Amen? Amen? They were in deep trouble. And they sang praises. And nothing had changed. And they're singing praises. God's got it. God's got our back. Hallelujah. We're going to praise Him right now, right here, in the circumstance. While they were praising Him, not petitioning Him, but praising Him, the place began to shake. It shook so hard, the doors popped open. Hallelujah. Without anybody unlocking them. And they walked out. And the jailers, oh, by the way, it said, and everybody heard them praising God. It became a witness and a testimony. Hallelujah. To their faith and His faithfulness. And all of these malefactors that were justly prosecuted and being punished for their crimes, nobody ran for the hills. The jailer thought, the jig is up. I've had it. All these prisoners have escaped. And they're going to hold me accountable. I didn't let them go. Paul said something phenomenal. We're all here. Not just the Christians, but all those criminals. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Brother Taylor, nobody run off. I go by the Orient Road Jail. Don't you open them doors. Then you say, man, because honey, it's going to be like stepping on an anthill. They're going to be going every which way. There's not enough canine dogs in the county to chase them all. If you break all those doors open, they're gone. They're out of here. But when those doors opened, everybody's door opened. The deliverance of God's people brought the deliverance of others because they stayed there because they said something has happened here. That my freedom from my penalty for my crime is not worth missing something that God is doing right here in this jail today. God wants to use our trials. God wants to use our tests and our circumstances to be a witness that there is a God. Hallelujah. That He sits upon the throne. That He is in charge and He is in control. That He is almighty. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he fell down. Amen. And he, listen to me. God saved the Philippian jailer, didn't He? Praise God. Hallelujah. And his household. Praise God. When God pulls somebody through something, it was such a witness. Amen. It's not just the healings and the miracles. It's God delivering people. Amen. As they praised Him, as they put their faith in Him, as they kept their attitude of gratitude. Sitting in the car out there today, we looked at about five cars. And we said, this could be a tough one. It's tough to start a service, amen, when so many people are not here. Thank God a few more came a little later. It don't take much to excite me. Can you say amen? Five more people come in and say, hallelujah. Now we got 15, hallelujah. But that battle wasn't won in here by how many come in or didn't come. It's one city in the car. And you know what? My wife began to pray. And I agreed with her because it was my heart too. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the health. Thank you, Lord, to be able to come here another Sunday and exalt and magnify your name. It's not how many people show up to appreciate that or to applaud that or to hear that. But Lord, you called us and you've kept us all these years. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. One more time. Here's another Sunday, and here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Hallelujah. Here we are to exalt the name of Jesus. And oh Lord, should one person who don't know you, amen, walk through this door, amen, let them sense your presence here today. Let them know that they're in a church where God visits, praise God, that they might be saved, delivered, and set free. Gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. Here's the mathematical equation to close with. Count it all joy. It's a mathematical term. Count it all joy. It doesn't feel joyous. It doesn't seem joyous. But James said to the persecuted church, and believe me, whatever your issue is tonight, theirs was worse. Paul looked out at people with issues that was really defeating them. And here's what he had to say. You have not resisted unto blood. But a lot of people have, and a lot of people still are. Can you say amen? There is a point where I have to get my mind off of me, because that's my defeat. Let me count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations and testings, knowing this, the trying of your faith is not something God is allowing so you can be beleaguered, embattled, defeated by the enemy, but so you can be perfected. The Bible calls it more precious than the silver and gold that preachers are preaching that is the ultimate goal of your life. That the very trial you're in is more precious than all the wealth they've accumulated in the name of faith. More precious than gold that does what? What does it do? It perishes. It perishes. It perishes. Amen. Count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience, that means keep trusting God through it. Don't ask him to just take you out, but to take you through. Can you say amen? Let patience have her what? Her perfect work. Well, what works patience? Amen. Tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Let patience have her perfect. Have you ever wondered why God delayed the answer, why it didn't just come down? Because he wants you perfected. He wants you matured. Amen. And after you've what? Suffered for a while, he will establish, strengthen, and settle you. Everybody say establish, strengthen, and settle. You know what happens when that happens? You become a pillar in the church. Amen? You become like Paul, who said, bonds and afflictions await me in Jerusalem. Ooh, I better not go there. You know what he said? None of these things move me. Can you say amen? That's when you can, listen, it's not whether you talk in tongues, get revelations. It's when you can face life with all its trials and say, none of these things move me. I will cry, but my tears won't last but a night. I won't live in that. Joy comes in the morning. And morning doesn't come when the circumstance changes. Morning comes when I'm able, through gratitude, to enter into the presence of God. And the Sun of Righteousness arises where? In my heart. With what? With healing in his wings. Healing for what? My broken spirit, my broken heart, my bitterness, my hurt, and my pain. God brought us through so many bad Christmases because of broken hearts. And yet, when we would look back to him, he would always be our Ebenezer. He would help us through. I know what it is to be brokenhearted. I know what it is to be depressed. I know what it is to have anxiety, nervous exhaustion. I know what it is to be in that horrible place, and I know how to get out. Can you say amen? And there's a point, I thought I was dying. I was laying in the bathroom floor, and I was just laying there again, all curled up, when that early onset of the anxiety attacks and the heart palpitating and the skin becoming clammy and breathing becoming shallow. And I literally believed I was dying. And I wanted to. I wanted to. Because it's like you're drowning. That breath doesn't go into your lungs. It stops somewhere in your throat. And then the pins and needles of passing out begin to come over. And I remember the words of Jesus on the cross, into thy hands commend I my spirit. And I remember testimony of man that survived the shipwreck. And he said there was nothing for him to hang on to. He felt he was going under to drown because he couldn't pull himself up. He couldn't dog paddlers keep afloat anymore. After several hours in the elements, he said, Lord, please, if you're not going to deliver me from this circumstance, let me die a quick death. I'm a Christian, not afraid of being dead, but I don't want the sensation to last of suffocation. It's exactly how I felt. So I was ready to pray, into thy hands commend I my spirit. Just let me go home. Just take me home. Not the first person in the Bible to be at that point. Moses says, take me home. It's beyond my ability to cope. Take me home. The great apostle Paul said, we were pressed beyond measure. I just wanted to go home. Despaired of life itself. That we might learn not to do what? To trust in ourselves, but into God who raises the dead. Honey, until that death comes to self, there'll be no resurrection power. It don't come by the laying on of hands. It comes by going through trials that bring us to an end of ourselves. Can you say amen? You understand that process tonight? You don't get it by getting gifts of the Spirit. That's not when you're dead to self. That's resurrection power is not the charismata of the gifts of the Spirit. They are nothing more than the gifts. Amen? I can give a 13-year-old a check for $100,000, but I can't make him mature because he's rich. He's still got to grow. He's still got to learn. Amen. People are still taken with 8-year-old preachers and 6-year-old preachers and 5-year-old preachers. I'm not impressed with them. You know why? Because they're talking about something they don't know anything about. No matter how vigorously they talk about it. And that's temptation. If they haven't been through puberty, they can't talk to me about overcoming sexual temptation. I'm sorry they can't talk to me. Because I don't know what they're going to do after they go through puberty. It's real easy to tell me not what to do while they're, or tell teenagers not what to do while they're 7. They hate girls. You stay away from them girls. Well, of course, you're 7. Come back when you're 21 and preach that message after you've overcome. Is that all right with you? I'm just not that impressed. The time is almost gone. The time is way past gone. There's a point where you've got to thank Him for the cross and get your mind off yourself and your circumstance and give things to God that you think you can't turn loose, but you must if you want to go free. There's a time to enter His gates with an attitude of gratitude. Count it joy, even when it feels so bad. Count it joy. God is not ignoring you. And God knows your limits. And you may think you passed your limits, but you're judging by what your emotional person can handle. And God is saying your limits are based on the grace that I give you, not what your emotions can stand. Amen? And Paul said, when I'm beyond measure, grace kicks in and His grace is sufficient. Here's the thankful heart. I will take pleasure. You've got to be counting it joy. Because believe me, what he went through wasn't fun. But he said, I'm going to mark it up to joy. I'll take pleasure in infirmities and necessities that life puts me in and my enemy puts me in. If God's going to get more glory of my life as I trust Him, and people are going to be encouraged because of my trust in Him, and you're going to use all of these things, then bring it on. I notice no one is amening that. Let me tell you something. You don't have to say bring it on. Devil's going to bring it whether you're ready or not. Remember Red Rover? Red Rover, let so-and-so come over. You don't have, devil, don't play that. He's coming whether you're ready or not. Can you say, man? He's coming. He's going to bring it. So I'd rather get to the point when I say bring it on than standing out here saying, oh, Lord, I hope he don't. Oh, Lord, I hope this don't happen. Oh, Lord, I hope that don't. I want to be able to say, Lord, no matter what happens, you're on the throne. Hallelujah, and you're in control, praise God. And I'm going to give you thanks because look what you brought me through. Look what you took me out of. Look what you lifted me up from. Look how your deliverance has flowed. Hallelujah. God is faithful tonight. Will you stand to your feet? Brother, would you come? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. Let me tell you about your faith tonight as we close. This baby, we had got to talk about him more. We are talking about him, but I like to be led of the Spirit and not just appropriate to the season. How many people in here need lifting up in the Lord tonight? Praise God. Wave at me if you need that. Thank God for the... And you that didn't lift your hand, the Bible said that we are to bear one another's burdens. We're to pray for one another. And the strong, come on, somebody that's got it together tonight, amen, look at somebody, amen, that you can help to encourage and be that encouragement. Let them know you're praying for them and start praying for them. Encourage them in the Lord. Strengthen their hand in the Lord tonight. This baby's birth set him apart. And I want you to know from a mathematician how far apart it set him. If eight prophecies, this is the mathematical equation. This guy's done the math. And he's a mathematician and a Christian. And here's one too, right here. Praise God. If I said he was a used car salesman, a Christian, we might have pause. But this is a mathematician or a lawyer. There are Christian lawyers. There are Christian used car salesmen. They don't keep their jobs very long, but they're out there looking for work right now. I know my father-in-law was one. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just eight prophecies regarding Jesus Christ. He says, and I quote, "The chance that any man might have fulfilled all eight prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th. Now, I don't know what in the world he's talking about. He's going to have to talk a lot clearer, number 5 again, if you will, tonight. Do you know what he's talking about? 1 in 10 to the 17th? It gets astronomical. Can I put it in plain terms? It's ginormous. Everybody say ginormous. That's gigantic and enormous all combined. 8 prophecies concerning him. If one man in history could be proven that he fulfilled 8 of those prophecies written that many years before. 8. This is the probability of that just happening. That would be 1 in 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, That means 100 quadrillion. He said, that's right, I get an A, y'all get an F. Thank you, Mike. I'm going home happy tonight. 100 quadrillion. And he said, he suggests that we take 10 to the 17th silver dollars, a quadrillion of them, lay them on the face of Texas, the landmass that is called Texas. Are you ready for this? I mean, your faith is powerful stuff. They're trying to discount it, discredit it. Honey, this is powerful. This Bethlehem, this timing, this all of these prophecies fulfilled in that little baby. Amen. And you take silver dollars and lay them on the landmass of Texas. They will cover the state 2 feet deep. Okay? A quadrillion silver dollars would cover Texas 2 feet deep. Mike is thinking he's going to blow a fuse because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, and he's way more intelligent, but I'm going to tell you something. That'll blow your mind. Now, mark one of these silver dollars. This is a scientist now. And mark one of them. Take a marks a lot and put an X on one silver dollar out of the 2 feet thick that covers Texas. And stir the whole mass thoroughly till they're all mixed up. Blindfold a man. Tell him he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up that one marked silver dollar. In other words, he can walk anywhere he wants in Texas, but when he bends down and picks up one, it's got to be that one. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Stoner concludes, just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing those 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man, providing they wrote them in their own wisdom. Honey, this didn't come by man or by the will of man. This thing we got a hold of tonight came by the will of God. And that was no ordinary baby. And that was no ordinary birth. Can you say, man? Everybody say, this is a supernatural God. And that God is the one who said, I'll never quit you. I'll never leave you. When you go through the fire, it won't kindle. If you'll recognize something, I'm with you. I'm right there in the furnace. Can you say amen? And God will take you through. Would you bow your head tonight? Satan loves to spoil Christmas. I found that out. Because the tidings to the church and to all mankind are tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He loves to take the joy out of our lives. Amen? He loves to hit us where it hurts. And I wish I could tell you that I'm not easily hurt, that after all of these years, that words don't bother me. They do. I have been beat up and shook hands with the guy I got in a fight with. And it was healed that quick. Not the pain of it, but the pain in here was gone. Because he was the better man. He won. And there was a time when you're good and bloody, and they'd let you alone. Maybe you'd one man become my best friend. Not man. Boy, when we had a fight at school, and we fought, then afterwards we became very, very close. And I worked with him at Tampa Electric, and he was bragging about busting my lips up. And I would brag about, you should have seen him, except I didn't get many licks in. I think he looked just fine after the whole thing was over. I'm here by the grace of God. I'm not here because I have everything perfect in my life or ministry. I'm here because God is merciful. And His grace is sufficient. Praise God. There's almost unanimous in here said we need that. We need help. We need lifting up. Your life is no different from anyone else in this fallen world as a Christian, except that you have a God. And that's supposed to make a difference. I want you to thank Him through your tears. I want you to thank Him in spite of your disappointments and your discouragements. And that looses Him to move. It's while they praised Him that He opened the doors of that prison. Can you say amen? Shalabakasata. The enemy isn't going to let up. He's not going to go away and give you a space to breathe and recover. He wants to take the wind out of you and defeat you while you're down. I'm not going away either, saith God. Even when you're down, even when you're discouraged and despondent, I'm not going to leave you. Look unto me. Trust in me. And let me bring you through that fire. For you shall come forth not beaten, beleaguered, and battered. You shall come forth as pure gold, saith the Spirit of God. Shalabaka siti andalabasaka. Mekarabahasaka. Mekalababa. How many people would by faith now just lift your hand and thank Him for giving His Son for you? Amen. I believe that's what He means in all things, give thanks. I don't thank God for people being ugly and mean and wanting to hurt me, but I thank God that Jesus died for me, and that shines brighter than the people being mean to me. In all things, there's still something to be thankful for, isn't there? I believe that's a better translation. Oh, I thank God that my husband's done me dirt and went out and slept with another woman. No, I don't thank God for that. That's a devil. Amen. Listen, thank God that it doesn't change what Jesus did on the cross for you. Can you say amen? And there has to be a point in your Christian life when what He did for you on the cross, amen, is more uplifting to you than what somebody does to you down here along the way. Can you say amen? Moshallah baba, hallelujah. I've been all nothing lately in several years, but there's been a time when people have hurt me so bad, I didn't want to preach anymore. I didn't want to get around people anymore. I didn't want to see nobody. Listen, I couldn't count sheep because that made it worse at night. Sheep was my problem. Amen? But God lifted me up. And God pulled me through. And God kept me from getting bitter even though I was bruised. Hallelujah. Amen. And God let me keep loving people in spite of themselves. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad to have His joy tonight. I don't know what I'd do without it. Praise God. The fact is, I couldn't and wouldn't do without it. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hand one more time and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's something about that. You know what just happened? You just passed through a gate. Amen. Out of a prison. And through a gate toward the presence of God. The moment you said, thank you, Jesus, a gate swung open. Open wide, you everlasting gates. Amen. Not only can you, amen, go to God. Hallelujah. But God can come to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let that gratitude come forth in praise. Father, I praise you. I magnify you tonight. My soul magnifies the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And come into His presence with singing. Bring it up tonight just for a few seconds. We won't play this all the way through.